today on Real Radio.
And you need to remember that Paul is talking to a church 2,000 years ago that tolerated everything, and they watered down the influence of the church in Corinth, and you couldn't tell the Corinthian church from the Corinthian evil.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're looking at a section taken primarily from the last part of chapter 10. Now, as followers of Jesus, we are to engage in what's commonly called communion, right? As a local body of believers, we break bread, we fellowship, but do we truly comprehend the term communion? When we're together in this context, are we truly grasping what it means to, as we say, break bread together? Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a presentation called Who We Are.
1 Corinthians chapter 10, and it starts at verse 16, the context of what we're looking at, the teaching, but it's going to end in chapter 11, verse 1. And don't think that we're violating some rule right now. You need to understand something. When the chapter verses were given, or appointed, I should say, it had nothing to do with the original Bible. Those were put there by men. And so the chapter break is unfortunate because they should have ended chapter 10 where verse 1, chapter 11 is at. So we will go through that up to verse 1 of chapter 11. And we're not going to take the time to read the entire portion. We will do that in our study right now as we go through it. But we are looking at a message entitled, Who We Are. And if that had a subtitle, it would be Who We Are in Christ. And I'd like you to be thinking about that really for the rest of your days, about who we are in Christ. Today, the word, and though it's necessary, the word or the statement being born again, which is a necessity to enter heaven, Jesus said, but a lot of people have abused that statement that you must be born again. I've heard recently about the born again Chinese and their economic industrialized revolution. The born again Chinese had nothing to do with spirituality. It has to do with their economy being born anew. And there's all this talk about, even in certain parts of the media, we've heard the word, well, you know, I feel like I've been born again. And they're talking about something completely different. Yes, it's true. Jesus said you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. There's no doubt about it. But what goes on after that is equally as important. And that is, are you in Christ? For now on, we ought to start using the terminology, are you in Christ? First of all, it's biblical. Number two, it's required. Number three, it's how you and I are going to live our lives as Christians. We will either succeed or not based upon exercising the liberty and the power that God has given to you and I to be in Christ. When I say in Christ, the word means that we have been installed, deposited, placed into the very person of Jesus. Church, theologically, I'm holding a bottle of water here, Arrowhead water. It's plastic. Hear that? Plastic. I'm not concerned regarding my life about the plastic when I'm thirsty. What I'm concerned about is what's inside the plastic. I'm grateful for the plastic. The plastic is necessary. In fact, it holds it all together. It makes me having my thirst quenched possible. But what I'm after now is what's inside. You with me? What is inside? I want you to think of the value of this. As a Christian today in this world, we are not of this world, but we are exercising our faith as true believers, and that happens because Jesus Christ, in this case, the bottle, all right? Listen to this. Has in his theology announced to us that we are in Christ. We are inside of him, as it were, protected that we might be one with Christ. In the same token, the Lord would have us to be living in such a way that in this world, visibly toward others, we are like the bottle. And when we speak, when we live, when we share, when we act, when we do, it is as though Christ is being poured out of us. Remember that. I'm really tempted right now. Can you see the gears in my mind going? When Jesus said in John chapter 7 that when you believe and trust in him, that out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water, okay? So it would be very, very appropriate for me to open this up, you see, and according to the scripture, that when Jesus is at work by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that we would be coming out of, or he would even be coming out of us into this world. And that's what the Lord wants to do. And so who are we in Christ? And when I talk about that, and when we talk about this morning, I think you know, if you've been here for a little bit of time, I view Christianity as extremely aggressive. I think Christianity by nature is tenacious. It cannot stand to see the lost remain lost. Christianity cannot stand to see injustice. Christianity cannot stand to see evil advance. Christianity, true biblical Christianity, cannot tolerate wickedness. And so Christianity today is mocked and ridiculed and marginalized because our world has gone so wicked that if you stand for what's right, you're nuts. You're crazy. And if you like it or not, we are in a battle of world cultures and worldviews. You either represent a biblical Christian worldview or you represent the worldview of the world, and they are absolutely like water and oil. They will never mix. And you need to remember that. Paul is talking to a church 2,000 years ago that for whatever reasons, maybe for comfort, maybe I don't know what, maybe to get along with everybody, they tolerated everything, and they watered down the influence of the church in Corinth, and you couldn't tell the Corinthian church from the Corinthian evil. And Paul has been encouraging them. And so as we looked at this study this morning, I want you to take out of this encouragement realizing who we are in Jesus. Listen, by way of introduction, jot down this verse, would you? This is us. And this is a high standard. This is a high bar, and I love it. 1 John 4:17 says, love has been perfected or complete, made complete among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Ladies and gentlemen, guys, leave the verse on the screen. It is God's will that you and I, regarding the day of judgment, have boldness, not being fearful. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Is that awesome? Who are you? When we say, I'm a Christian, we are saying, I'm a follower of Christ. And that being true, there should be characteristics, identifiable marks. There should be birthmarks upon those who have been born again in a very profound way. Another verse by introduction, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15 says, Jesus died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Paul announced that again in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, when Paul said to the church in Rome, he says, and do not be conformed, shaped, molded to this world. Stop being pressed into the world's mold, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That comes by the power and the Spirit of God. So the first thing we're going to look at, starting at verse 16 to verse 21, is this. Who we are, number one, is worshipers. We are worshipers. A moment ago, you were either engaged in worship or not, based upon your choice. correct? You say, well, we were all singing. We might have been singing, but were we worshiping? Note verse 16. We become like the object church that we worship. Will you mark that down? We become like the object that we worship. He says in verse 16, the cup of blessing. Paul is speaking about the communion service as believers. Very specific. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Paul is drawing attention to the Corinthian believers that you guys, when you come as Christians to the table of the Lord and you have the elements, are we not participating at the table corporately as a body of believers? Are we not announcing that we are pursuing, loving, and worshiping Christ, the object of our worship? And everybody in Corinth would say, yes, yes, Paul, that's exactly right. He would get a resounding yes out of them. And so his point is, when you worship like that, in this case as a Christian, you partake of the elements of remembrance. When we partake of communion, every first Wednesday of the month, we have communion together as a church. You say, why don't we do it on Sundays? I will not do it on Sundays. Why? Because on Sundays, there's what I would call a mixed multitude. There are people who come to church on Sunday, they're not Christians. There are people who come, we know there are people, we've seen people come here who are spies from cults, for real. This is a mixed multitude of people. Wednesdays, we reserve as much as we can. We have somewhat more confidence that on Wednesday nights, it's reserved, of course, communion is for the believer. And Wednesday night, the probability of you being a believer goes up higher. I mean, will a non-believer go to a church on a Wednesday night when, you know, when American Idol's on? Of course not. They're going to watch American Idol. And so we'll have communion like that together. But it doesn't have to be in a setting like this. Our men's ministry, they have communion every Saturday morning. You can have communion every day if you want. You can have it once a year if you want. It doesn't matter. Jesus said, as often, he didn't say when, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. And those elements are types, they're symbols of his blood and of his body. And listen, we don't get this in the American Western mindset, but when you sit down in that culture and eat of the bread and of the cup from the table that you're gathered around with friends, they believe to this day that you are becoming one with those who are at the table. Isn't that romantic? Isn't that beautiful? That when you sit, and in fact, when you take that bread or you take the meat or you're eating and you have the fruit and you have the various elements of the dinner meal and they're all sitting there talking, listen, they will not in the Middle East invite you to their table at home to eat unless they like you. It's too personal. I like that. And you don't go there, by the way, and say, okay, yeah, what's up? And you eat and leave. When you go to a Middle Eastern country, when you go to Israel and you go out with friends or you go to a friend's house to eat, you better have blotted out the night, my friend. It is a big deal of what I would say spiritual romance with God, because you're coming together. And he's saying, listen, the object of your worship, Corinthian Christian, is it not Jesus? Is it not everything that he's done for us? And that's true today. What you and I choose to worship, we become like that object. If that object is made out of metal and fiberglass and tires and 5-speed or 6-speed, then we tend to take on the personality of that thing. And the more elaborate or more exotic the vehicle, the more finicky it is, and the more finicky that person who worship it becomes. Or whatever it might be. People today, many people today, I had a guy tell me that was visiting out of state, was here last service, that people are panicking, people are upset, people are concerned. He's in a certain type of career where he helps companies either get better or they learn how to close their doors. And he said, my business is booming. And I said, why? He said, because there's so many companies going out of business. And they need me to go out of business. And I said, what are people doing? He says, people are panicking. Why? Because their object of worship may very well be that thing. And this is a critical challenge. So when he says, is not the blessing, the cup of blessing, that word means the cup of thanksgiving, the cup of praise. The Bible tells us in Psalm 116, verse 12, it says, what shall I render to the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? Wow. Hey, we ought to mark that right now. Have you seen the weather outside? God is so good. By the way, he'd be good if it was 120 degrees here also, okay? It just happens to be 85. He says, I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord, and I will pay my vows. Notice that. I will offer, pay, I will sacrifice. It will cost me something, my vows to our God. He announces that to the Lord. And he says he's going to do that in the presence of his people. Corporate worship. Christians, listen. Look, I have to say this, and if it convicts you, then deal with it. If you're good, then praise the Lord. But I've got to say it. Worship should be absolutely paramount in our lives in three capacities. Worship in praise and adoration from our lips. Number two, worship in the Word of God. And number three, worship in prayer. Jesus said, my Father's house shall be called a house of prayer. And when we pray, we are worshiping. When we study like we are right now, this is an act and form of worship right now. And when we praise, we are offering God worship, obviously. And a moment ago, you sang those songs. They were great songs, great worship. And it's very funny. People will often say, well, you know, I didn't like the first two songs, but the third one was good. The fourth one was even better. Well, who asked you? Isn't that funny? Had nothing to do, listen, it had nothing to do with you unless you were taking those words and presenting them to the Lord in worship. This was not for you to be entertained. A lot of churches, I'm sad to say, have gone into an entertainment mode when it comes to worship. What did the people think? How did the people feel? Let's sing this song. It really gets the people going. You say, well, Pastor Jack, is that a wrong thing for the people to get going? It's not the wrong thing, it's not a wrong thing, if God is getting them going. Big difference. You can hype it up, or you can bless God and let him figure it out. Let him take care of it. Worship is our presentation. We become like the object that we worship, and we're identified with that object. And the next thing is this, look at verses 17 to 18. We become like the object that we worship. We are worshipers of God because, listen, we become united in our act of worship. He says to the Corinthian believer, for we, though many, he didn't say what many means. Could be a congregation like this. It could be one of the services like this. It could be the church global in the world. Doesn't matter. For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partake of that one bread. Observe, he says, as a way and example, Israel after the flesh. Are not those who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? The answer is yes. You want to be careful who you're united with? As a believer, as Christians, we should, number one, understand the object of our worship is Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, the wise men, the kings from the east came and they said, what? We have come to worship him. That's why we're here right now. That's one of the reasons, is to worship him. But we're to do it united and a united act of worship. Now, listen, it is true that you don't have to go to church to become a Christian or be a Christian. This is true. And it is true that you don't have to go to church. We wouldn't want you here if you didn't want to be here. God's not into rape. It's got to be from the heart. Yes, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 10:25 to be very, very careful as believers that as we live in our days, there will be a time when people will be tempted to not gather together corporately anymore. They'll think of excuses. They'll offer up reasons. They'll say things like, I don't need to go. And technically, they're right. You don't need to go. But if you can go, go. And if you're in this church and you're not being moved by the Spirit of God and challenged by the Spirit of God and God is not at least attempting to work in your life. If you don't think that's happening, then this is not the fellowship for you. You need to find out the church that you're supposed to be at and grow in that church. You got to go where you'll grow. But by all means, we are to be united as a corporate body in the world as believers around the truth of God. And that's what unites us. Church, listen, please mark this down. Never, never argue for unity's sake, for unity's sake. That's a dangerous thing. Well, doesn't the Bible say that how good and how pleasant it is that the people of God dwell together in unity? Of course it says that. But where'd you get that idea from? The Bible. Bingo. We are to be united by and in the truth of God. You are to never sacrifice truth for unity. It's not to be unity at all cost. It's truth at all cost. And when the truth is proclaimed, listen, Jesus said it, my sheep hear my voice, they follow me. That is code word, my friend. That is code word. Jesus is saying, when I speak my word out, or when my word is proclaimed, people will decide. People will know. That feeds my soul. I want more. Some people will say, I don't want that. Jesus doesn't fret about that. We are not to make people come to church. He's not into that. Jesus being our object of worship, us being worshipers, when we get united in an act of worship, it's attractive to those who are seeking God. It's a great testimony. It's a great witness. But we need to mark the fact that what Paul is announcing to the Corinthian church is that they need to depart from their pagan temptation of what they've come out of, where they had, listen, we'll read about it in a moment, they had all kinds of icons and all kinds of statues, all kinds of things that the Corinthian believers had woven into their Christian worship. And you might be shocked today. You're going to get upset. I'm going to tell you right now, someone in here in a service this size is going to get upset with me, and I want you to know it ain't my fault. Because when I read what I'm going to read soon, you're going to say, I find that highly offensive. Well, let me tell you something. You're not nearly as offended as you have offended God. Well, I grew up like this. Well, it's time to change. Why? Because look, not only will we become like the object we worship? We are to be united in worship. Thirdly, under this point, verses 19 to 21, we are to be separated through our worship. Our worship should be something that separates us from the world. And let me add this. It's not in my notes. Maybe God dropped it in my head just now. Stop treating worship like it is second rate. If you do not have a private worship life, start it today. I got to be on the freeway at 6 a.m., then get up at 4. Well, I have to go to bed. You know, I'm up late at night. I got to read all this stuff. You know what? Read the Bible first. Seek God first. I don't care what you got to do. Worship Him.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a study that takes a look at the last section of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The title of the study, Who We Are. It's a challenge to believers to think about who we are as a church as we gather together as believers to break bread in commemoration of the broken body and the shed blood of the Lamb of God. Who We Are, that's the title of the lesson. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse journey through this New Testament letter written by Paul. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, of course, we realize that it's not always possible for you to hear every single broadcast of Real Radio with Jack Hibbs when it airs. That's why we've made subscribing to podcasts of Real Radio real easy. Simply visit us at realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and click on the button on the right that says simply podcasting. Again, that's realradioactive.org, and then click on podcasting. It's real easy. Subscribe and you'll never miss an edition of Real Radio. Listen to each broadcast at the time that's best for you. That's at realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.